The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is essentially, are you a rockstar IT infrastructure and operations leader? Our guests for today's show are James Fortner, who's the Vice President, Information Technology for Development and Operations, Global Business Services for Procter & Gamble. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
How's life there?
It's cold. I'm in Cincinnati.
All right, great. So we have Bill McCorry, who's the Vice President of Global Infrastructure with IBM. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Sanjoe. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. It's cold here as well in Chicago. How is it live there?
Well, I'm in Virginia, so it's a pretty day-to-day, about 50 degrees, so can't complain.
Yeah, that's like winter summers for us here in Chicago. So, and we also have Vittoria Cretella, who is the Vice President, CIO for Wrigley, and also the CTO of Mars IS. Good morning, Vittoria.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's sunny and clear skies here in New Jersey, so I can't complain.
Very good, very good. So we got quite a mix of weather. Now, coming to the topic where we said, okay, let's use this word rock star. So we infrastructure and operations folks are super busy. We have like 20-hour days, et cetera. I don't know if you guys are having it, but I see many of them having such long days. And we are very busy. But at the same time, the question is, are we able to remain or become as effective as we want to be? And if there is a situation that we are not able to, what is preventing us from getting to that level? Jim?
Well, I think you're right. Our jobs are 24/7. You know, we can get a call anytime, night or day, holidays and whatnot. So first, I think it's important for people in our position to take care of themselves, honestly. And it starts with that. And that includes investing in ourselves technically and from a business standpoint, as well as, you know, taking care of our health. But I think the thing that's most challenging that I find in my role, because we at P&G, we've centralized all of IT development and operations. So all application development, now we're going to start running it horizontally as a practice. And just like we've been doing to some degree with our infrastructure operations, we're now doing it with our application operations. So we're kind of moving into a new model. But the thing I find most challenging, Sanjoe, is the changing business requirements. Our business is moving at just lightning speed with new acquisitions and divestitures or new business models. So as an infrastructure, and if the focus today is kind of more infrastructure and operations, I think our challenge is how do we continue to deliver rock-solid services for the big ERP platforms that we've done a pretty good job, I think, in the industry to extend out to employee, you know, think about employee productivity systems. Handheld, mobile, wireless, and the blogging and all these other kinds of technologies that are improving the collaboration of our business partners. So just staying on top of all the changing business needs, I find that challenging.
Now, Bill, you come from an organization which is, again, global, and you also have enough of your own infrastructure that has to be managed. And you, of course, serve other companies like on a global basis. So where do you see the INO rock stars that everybody wants to become at that enterprise level which you're serving or what you're trying to do internally? How is that any different? Or are the challenges exactly the same?
You know, I think the challenges are similar, Sanjoe. I think clearly, you know, globally integrated company like IBM, you know, we really, you know, operate around the globe and around the clock. So there's something happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, I think it's critically important, you know, for us, you know, in looking at the the new initiatives and the ideas that are coming to the table, you know, in order to serve our internal needs and our external clients. You know, it's really, you know, understanding that portfolio and being able to prioritize what matters the most, because there's clearly an abundance of work, there's an abundance of ideas, and you have to have a really strong portfolio prioritization process, you know, that really lets you dive deep into the work that matters the most. And then I think it's also important, you know, for an infrastructure leader to clearly have a roadmap that is mapped out into the future that allows you to then, you know, look at those initiatives and say, okay, are we really moving things forward? And as Jim said, infrastructure is far more than just, you know, data centers and servers. It's really the collaboration tools. It's the what the employees are working with. It's, you know, the solutions that we provide them. How do we make them as effective and productive as possible? So, you know, it's a lot of fun, but I tell you, it is a challenge to keep current and keep up with everything.
So, Vittorio, how much fun are you having with this joyride?
Well, a lot of fun. This is a time of increasingly competing and conflicting priorities. We have been quite successful in centralizing our infrastructure capabilities and run it as a shared service, but that put our capabilities at the core, you know, of the business activity, and we see fast growth by acquisitions or people collaborating using Web 2.0 within the enterprise that put more demand on infrastructure, and it's important to have a clear understanding of what are the strategic objectives so that you can prioritize and agree those strategic objectives with your stakeholders, peers, and customers so that you can differentiate the critical from the important. Another thing I'd say is what could prevent a leader to be effective is lack of talent in her or his team, making it difficult to delegate. So developing people and talent is a must-do.
Now, Bill, question would be is that if you have a CIO who's got an agenda to make sure that information flows well through the plumbing that is set properly by the INO leader, and then as the information is flowing, it is effectively used from the O side, that is the operations side, which is again handled by this INO leader. What kind of understanding that you expect, or what is a best practice, or what is a good standard to follow in terms of understanding between CIO and INO leader?
You know, I think that's a great question, Sanjay, and I think, you know, there's got to be a clear linkage. You know, clearly we're expected to keep, you know, that plumbing, as you say, up and running and delivering very high availability. But, you know, we're also looked at to deliver innovation and, you know, new solutions, you know, that can really deliver value for a company. For example, you know, at IBM, I mean, we're looking, you know, at the workplace of the future. You know, how do we really identify the capabilities, the tools, you know, the collaboration suite, you know, that we can provide the employees of IBM in specific roles that can make them the most effective and most efficient, you know, employees that you possibly can have. So I think it's a balancing act. You clearly have to, you know, set the table with, you know, defining and building an infrastructure that delivers high performance, high availability, but also looking at innovation and new ideas that can even move infrastructure even more into the forefront as a transformational investment.
Vittorio, if you had to do performance review of your INO leader, what are the things that you would measure him or her on?
Well, one key responsibility for the INO leader is to get the CIO on board with both the potential infrastructure can provide as well as the criticality. So the CIO must have visibility of the implications. So when it's down to cost reductions, understand what are the how service level are going to be affected, and understand a full understanding of trade-offs. And that's the job of the INO leader, to spell out those trade-offs and get the CIO on board. I often see some infrastructure managers struggling to explain how, for instance, a headcount decrease may affect service levels, disaster recovery, and so on and so forth. If they don't, they cannot blame anybody else for taking decisions without understanding the consequences.
Jim, in your world, how much do you have to keep answering to the top guys to say, hey, I'm doing my job, leave me alone so that I can do it?
That's a good question. We have I have regular discussions with not only our CIO, but our audit committee and other top leaders in the company regarding, you know, kind of the IT infrastructure and the resiliency and that kind of thing. And I agree with both Bill and Victoria here. It's important to have very clear communications with these leaders in a business terms, not technical terms. So what makes it successful, I think, is when the dialogue goes up a level or two and you're talking about the business risk and why I need to spend what I need to spend. The other thing for me, there's three clear deliverables that I have on my plate. Bill kind of hit them as well. One is dollar savings. Second is on innovation portfolio. And the third is operational excellence and resiliency in general. And I have to, you know, I'm driving the strategy and the vision for P&G in this space. So at the end of the day, Sanjo, if my measures, if I'm not delivering against very clear measures in business terms, then we'll have an issue, and they're going to probably help me run my IT infrastructure. But, you know, it's important for me and P&G to always remember what the purpose of our company is, which is it's all about improving consumer lives in more parts of the world more completely, and that's driven down from the top. And even though I'm an infrastructure leader, I have to remember why I'm here, and it's all about the consumer and how we helping him and her in their everyday experience with our products.
Vittorio, if you see that there are changes in technology, what we have been adopting or what has been brought in front of us to better manage I&O, has that come along with a bunch of challenges? Is it like a mixed bag, if you will, which is being handed over to you now? Go deal with it.
Yeah, I think the big issue that remains is integration, which is made more visible by the increased availability of this more sophisticated system management technology and platforms. It's undeniable that there is much more complexity operation teams have to deal with these days, and automation is a prerequisite to stay efficient. But unless we have a more open architecture to federate all these resources and system, we cannot really maximize the effectiveness of the operational teams, especially when they are dispersed geographically or even extend beyond the enterprise with the inclusion of vendors running managed services.
Now, Bill, with you having, you know, of course, must be leading your internal and external initiatives for infrastructure, how is this open world where, you know, you are not alone, you're looking outside in, you're dealing with different stakeholders or people who are entities surrounding you? It could be customers, partners, shareholders, you know, people up and down the value chain. How are they impacting your ability to handle I&O effectively?
You know, I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, the business leaders are looking for value, you know, on top of the investments, you know, that we're tackling. You know, I think our external clients, you know, are very much looking to the internal IBM IT to demonstrate or showcase, you know, that we're using our own solutions and services, you know, and extracting value. So I spend a fair amount of time, you know, out meeting with clients and really demonstrating how we're using our own, you know, solutions and services. And you know, there's quite a bit of interest, you know, in infrastructure these days. And clearly, you know, we like to point back to the, you know, the whole smarter planet approach that, you know, we want to build, you know, a really smart infrastructure, you know, one that, you know, is clearly green, it's secure, and one that takes advantage of, you know, virtualization and analytics in every sense of the, you know, the work we're doing on a consistent basis.
So, Jim, with new acquisitions come new flavors of technologies that they may have used over a period of time, and now you're left sifting through and building one compact, integrated infrastructure and operations, you know, unit, if you will.
Yep.
And it is a moving target.
Yeah.
So when do you ever get to a stable state for you to enjoy the fruits of that labor?
You won't. There's never going to be a stable state in our business. You know, when we acquired Gillette a few years ago, we had a very robust plan, right on through from the CEO right down through every employee, on integrating Gillette as fast as possible. And it's not about just bolting them onto the existing kind of ERP system or the existing collaboration technologies. You know, our vision was full integration and ultimately shut down their system. So, you know, at the end of this fiscal year for us, so June 30th, we will turn the lights off on the Gillette data centers. And that was important for us because that helped us meet the one of the objectives I talked earlier about, which is driving savings. And being a global company, we're able to really drive standards. But at the end of the day, Sanjo, in our business, we're always acquiring, we're always divesting. So this is just, we have teams that are just dedicated to that. And our goal is to really take out cost and don't have lots of discussions around which technology should we adopt, because we've driven, we have a standard within our company, and when new companies come in, we drive to that standard unless we feel like there's a compelling need to change our approach and, you know, and drive to the other company. So Gillette, as an example, had some very strong planning tools. You know, their portfolio planning process I thought was best in class. And that's something that we're reapplying here at P&G. But the acquisition and divestiture game, it's important for companies like ours to use this as an opportunity to really integrate the employees in and the business in as fast as possible. That's where you see the greatest energy.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Mr. Vittorio, do you think you are a magician to be able to pull this INO leadership expectation to the...
Well, I don't believe we can qualify as magicians, but over the past 10 years, we have been pretty close to it. So technology has helped a lot to keep costs at bay while demand for resources was skyrocketing. And by using a centralization approach, consolidating resourcing, make use of virtualization, we were able to deliver more bang for the same buck. you know, there is a limit to that. And by the way, we see many opportunities in the future with things like cloud computing. So the journey is not over. However, there is a limit to that. And the only way to get out of that dilemma is to establish a discussion with the business, a governance conversation with the stakeholders, so that you provide full transparency of the services you provide in business terms and help the stakeholders to make choices on the service levels where it's needed. I would say that if the IO leader feel that what the business asks is unreasonable and the expectations are unreasonable, he's the one to blame first for failing to connect, you know, with the rest of the organization.
So, Bill, in your view, if somebody is trying to get some work done here and they are not able to, you know, they are not able to create these miracles, is that truly because, as you know, Vittorio said, a problem in setting the right expectations, or in the first place, you know, his or her ability to be able to deliver it?
You know, I think it's probably, you know, more towards the expectations or using the data and analytics to really, you know, spell out the facts. You know, I've always found that if you come to the table, you know, with, you know, data that supports your business case, you know, you'll be heard. And, you know, prior to this role, I was a CIO for a large retailer, and so I had that appreciation for infrastructure, and, you know, knowing the appropriate questions and data points to ask for, you know, to help sell up through the senior leadership and to the board, you know, for some of these transformational investments. So I think Vittorio is right. It's setting the expectations, it's building that partnership, and then it's having the data, you know, to actually describe the outcomes of some of our actions.
But the one of the words that Vittorio used is governance, which, again, in some cases is used as it's at least perceived as an overkill. And when you talk about INO, prove that it is something that's going to deliver value versus just being a cost-saving machine. And then in order to make that happen successfully, you want to have a governance layer, which, again, is in some cases perceived as an overkill. What is the outcome expected out of such an environment?
Sandra,
are you asking, who are you asking?
This is going back to Bill again, just I'm following up.
Yep, I very much agree that, you know, the governance, you know, plays a very important part. And I think it's as you define these infrastructure initiatives or investments, you know, have the business case built in a way that it's easy to capture and or identify, you know, the true savings or the transformational value. I think, you know, it's more than just being able to say, okay, we installed this, you know, server or storage farm, or we implemented cloud. Be able to point back to where did it really save, you know, employees time, you know, in provisioning? Where did it actually reduce cost, or where did it drive improved performance or other business value? So I think that governance process really generally ties back to, you know, from my point of view, financial ties that you can actually demonstrate the value.
So, Jim, in your case, if you were able to get a miracle going at your end, what was the secret sauce there?
Well, I think, you know, for us, when you talk, first of all, the miracles in our business is real risky, Sanjo. One little outage could take us down and be detrimental to the companies that we serve. So in the infrastructure business, you don't sit and kind of pray for miracles, as both Bill and Vittorio kind of shared. But one is, I believe, you got to have very strong executional excellence. You got to get, you know, that whole culture within your organization that you don't, you know, there's no cowboys here. You do careful plan changes. You test it. You got very clear value proposition back to the business. It's a very serious business that we're in. I mean, it really demands the best out of the people. And honestly, I think the job's fantastic. You know, the IT leaders in this space, it's just they earn their salary just about every day in the excellence of keeping the systems up and driving innovation. So I'm a real strong believer in driving a culture of operational excellence and really lifting up the organization. So my personal plea is to those folks that are listening to the radio broadcast that really think about the infrastructure operations as something very strategic. I think if you were to talk to any of our CEOs in our companies, they will tell you how important our function and our job is, you know, whether it's security, whether it's the IT systems itself, or other aspects around the collaboration technologies. We provide breakthrough for our company. And then secondly, I'll go just back. I think Bill mentioned about the conversations that we need to have at the top. You know, very clear communication in business speak around the value proposition. And then the follow-up on the conversation that here's what we're delivering. We delivered the promise, and here's the business benefits. I mean, I think it's really important to tie that knot as infrastructure leaders, so that there's more awareness about the results.
So, Vittorio, if you were to use your influence management, that's a term which, of course, exists for any leader who needs to get jobs done by having people follow them who don't report to them. How much of that influence management is, of course, it is required. We know that it is required. But then how much does it take for you to make people follow you, especially if you are an I&O leader? Not everybody in business community is going to be following you right up front. So what is that Pied Piper approach that you have to take to make this happen?
I think, as you say, it's a key requirement of the job. And especially when infrastructure capability is centralized and provided as a shared service to the various business entities. And the connection with the business and building the trust is a prerequisite. So you mentioned before that governance may be seen as an overkill. We found to unlock that and to make it much more of an agile type of discussion, creating a service catalog. So making transparent what is the business deliverables out of the service was essential to success. And then, you know, you build trust because people don't look at it as a black box. And also you can have a meaningful discussion with people. The other thing is the connection with the business entities often is provided by business-facing teams, whether they are regional teams, local teams, and there is not always a direct connection between the global infrastructure function and the customers. And in that case, it is very important to through networking and influencing to make sure those peers and colleagues become your best ambassadors and supporters, because they are your face to business units, to the ultimate customers. You want to make sure that people perceive, you know, the value you provide.
Bill, a question for you. While we are talking about influence management and what Vittorio says definitely makes sense for us to get anything done, now, this person cannot be the only spokesperson for that cause. And so that you have to have a set of lieutenants who are doing something same as what you're doing or almost be your clone to make this happen, because in larger organizations that would be required. What is the team makeup that you would look for in order for you to yourself be elevating yourself to be an I&O rock star?
You know, Sandra, that's very important, especially for a global company, you know, like ours. You know, I need and have, you know, infrastructure leaders in, you know, most of the, you know, large countries or regions. And I think it's critically important, you know, for those leaders to be on the same page with me and, you know, my team, you know, so that as we make changes, we can actually help the business around the world understand the value, and then more importantly, help the business adopt and utilize, because so often technology solutions don't, you know, deliver their full value because the adoption rate may not be where it should be. So I think you have to build in, you know, what's our change management, you know, your strategy and plan for implementing this new solution as well. And then you do have to have those leaders, you know, in our company, clearly around the world, operating on the same page. So I think, you know, you're spot on. It's very important, you know, for me to have leaders, you know, that I can reach out to around the globe, and I do that on a, you know, a daily basis.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And, Jim, let's start with you, in fact, talking about the team makeup. So what exactly did you do in your organization to pull off a very successful I&O transformation and or ongoing management so that the best value is being delivered, the costs are low, and everybody's happy. So what is that crew looking like, and what are you doing to make that crew successful? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Are you looking for a show to help you increase your sales and subsequently your income? Want to know what works and what doesn't? Do you want to have some fun and learn at the same time? Listen for Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. Yep, it's a long title, but it's designed to educate you, the effective sales professional. Each week, hosts Len DiNincenzo and Jack Cullen will help you stay focused on doing the basics of your trade consistently well. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Hawaii is viewed by many as one of the most beautiful places in the world to visit. The island paradise ranks second in a recent Best Places to Live poll. 7 million annual visitors, can't be wrong. Now bring a little aloha to your life each week by tuning in to From Hawaii with Love. Featuring Joy Curdy and Jenny Fujita, you'll get a new perspective of life in the islands from those who live there and get a behind-the-scenes look at customs and traditions. Tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel. Mahalo.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Jim, what's the crew looking at your end? Who's making you and themselves successful?
I have a multifunctional team, first of all. So I have a finance manager that reports into me, an HR manager, and I also have a manager of communications, because I think in the I&O space, you really need to have strong communications, equity communications. So I have a person that is dedicated to helping us really hone in on the message when we deliver value. You know, I use also techniques in terms of, like, we have scorecards that are very clear deliverables with our leaders. The culture that we have in place is a culture that, you know, you deliver the promise. You deliver on your commitments. And we spend time with getting clear on our strategies and our goals within the leadership team. My leadership team is global, so we have people, you know, kind of all over the place. And then I think the last thing I'd like to mention is we really leverage our partnerships that we have. We have a strong partnership with HP, Cisco. We leverage IBM as well. We have Xerox, you know, these kinds of things, SAP. We leverage the partnerships to really help us change the game, to come up with new ideas and new innovation, and then think about how do we do things much more effectively, much cheaper. That's kind of the makeup, you know, some external involvement as well as a cultural change within the team in terms of what's expected of them and how do they drive the right results.
Now, could you say that if you were indeed using outsourcing successfully, you could go vacationing in Hawaii and still get the job done?
HP runs our IT operation today. So as we speak, they are monitoring our SAP systems, and they're doing all the right change management and this kind of thing. So on a day-to-day basis, you're right. But we can't. This is not a hands-off kind of proposition. Even our partners would tell you that. They need the P&G leadership to help drive the right kinds of investment decisions and the interventions that are needed. Collectively, we really win together. We on an island, we can't do it. And I couldn't do it without them, and they can't do it without us.
Bill, since you see companies across multiple industries and multiple continents, where do you see do you see a pattern in the way INO is being handled and the type of crew, the type of makeup, the type of processes, which is essentially creating a high degree of success?
Yeah, I do. I think the framework is the same around the world. I think the difference is the rate and pace of the growth. I mean, clearly in our growth markets, the demand for infrastructure, is just far greater than than it would be in a mature market. And it's even down to finding solutions that are easier to deploy, better serve the customer, and ones that we can very rapidly provision. So I think the big difference is pace and rate of that change in some of these growth markets.
Do you see IT leaders in companies where you, even as a vendor, would go in there and try to successfully help them handle INO? Is there any leadership style that you see makes it more successful overall?
I think a lot of what I'm hearing from my panelists here is the same. I mean, you really have to look at infrastructure, as more than keeping the lights on. But you really have to understand, there will be times, where you're going to be on calls, late at night or in the early morning because of the windows for implementing the changes. So I think it does take someone that's very diligent, someone that clearly understands when to say no. I mean, I always encourage my team, if there is a problem, let's back out before there's an impact. And I will never address anybody for making a decision to fall back as long as we can protect the availability. So I think that operational excellence is first and foremost. And to Jim's comments on being able to step away for vacation, I understand that's hard to do for all of us in this space, because we're always connected, always on. But I think it's a matter of putting the right team in place, putting the right automation in place, that really gives you that early warning and the ability to react as quickly as possible.
Vittorio, do you think you can be a rockstar INO leader and still have a life?
Well, I believe so. I believe so, but we need to evolve in the way we run our function. So I do believe IT infrastructure operation will become even a more important prerequisite to do business, and not only in terms of the amount of capacity we need to provide with business growing very fast, but as well as the type of capabilities. And I mentioned before social networking with the enterprise, and a lot happens today in the digital world. But and I believe there will be more opportunities to procure and assembly capabilities to increase service while reducing cost. Now, talent is one of the things that I mentioned before, and I believe it's very important that we develop that talent by adding the right skills and competencies. So while retaining the amount of technology expertise required to apply good judgment, we must increase skills such as vendor management, influencing and networking within the organization, and basically developing more entrepreneurial profiles, yeah? And whenever possible, perform rotations in other roles within IT to enable those leaders to get the full picture. Now, you mentioned also managed service and outsourcing. I do believe there is an opportunity there where a scenario where the INO function will decrease the amount of internal execution and at the same time increase the amount of service management across platforms and vendors. Looking basically at end-to-end services as opposed to specific pieces of technology. And that's why it's important that the leaders have a good entrepreneurial profile and they talk service, not just technology. And I'm very fortunate that one part of my organization is really geared to do so. So the operational leg of our central organization is structured to address those needs.
Now, Jim, in your case, when you are trying to deliver value or that you're expected to deliver value, you are also required to invest some money into the boxes and everything else that is required in the I&O. Now, can you truly create a tangible, measurable crystal ball, if you will, for the guys who are going to be holding the purse string that, yes, this is required, so I want this much money and I'll get you this much result? Do you have the confidence and or a math that you can show, a tally you can show, which will allow them to say, yeah, it looks like, yes, it is a good proposition?
Yeah, I would turn back to my IT leaders within my organization, Sanjo, and all those on the phone here. At the end of the day, that's what's expected of us in IT. If we run our area like a business, you can't go to a bank and get a loan without a clear business case. And in our business, you know, if we're driving a new product innovation and we want to invest, you got to have a very sound cash flow position, a business case in terms of how much revenue you expect to bring in. In our business, it's no different. When I have found mistakes made in the past, it's because we haven't done a thorough enough job really rooting out the risk versus the benefit. There's a fine line here, okay? There are cases where we put technology on the floor that the business says, oh, this is not really that critical. Then we find out a year later that they're running business critical information through it, and then now we have to play catch up, and then we have to invest extra in the hardware or software to put in resiliency. This is one of the reasons why we are horizontalizing our application and infrastructure operations and our development work. We want to catch this up front. So when we sit down and if a business partner has a need and we develop the capability to meet that need, we share the risk up front in terms of the cost and the rough order of magnitude. And if it goes over, the business is aware of the risk that it could go over. So we really share the risk together. And in addition, we also ensure that the quality goes in so we can have a vertical startup on our initiatives versus historically, I think, IT leaders around the world, you know, just in our industry, they haven't been known for doing vertical startups on big application projects. And this is something that, you know, is changing. I hear this from my colleagues and other companies, and a need is certainly here at P&G to be always on and to make sure that we take savings that we have yielded and reinvest them back in some cases in operational excellence. In other cases, it's just new capability.
So, Bill, is that any different in what you see across other industries and internally?
No, I think it's very, very similar, Sanjo. I think, you know, we're all looking to drive, you know, more dollars towards those transformational investments and taking the cost of, you know, run down. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, it's as Jim said, you present your business case, and I think it's really important, you know, to be able to demonstrate, you know, when an infrastructure investment is truly transformational, because, you know, a lot of times they get categorized, you know, merely as running the engine, and that's not always the case. I mean, clearly, keeping the boxes, you know, current, you know, that is run, but really looking for ways, you know, through some of the techniques today, such as cloud and virtualization, you know, to really transform how infrastructure is serving the business. So I think that's the challenge, you know, we're all being asked, you know, to deal with and deliver against every day.
We see a ton of people talking to us, and, of course, we hear them saying that my infrastructure budget and I&O budget has been cut to the bones. Now, were they not the right salespeople, or they did not sell it right? Is that why it happened, or is there some extraneous factors that they don't control?
You know, Sanjay, I think we're all being asked, you know, to reduce our cost, and I think, you know, certainly the technology advances, you know, allow us to do so. But what you also have to do is be able to support growth. So, you know, there's a fine line of taking your costs down, but you have to be able to clearly say, you know, in this space or in this region or in this market, you know, here's what we're doing to really facilitate that growth. And I think clearly most business leaders, you know, are they're going to be open to that. You know, but as Jim said, you need to have your business case. You need to have your information, ready, and at arm's length to be able to explain why this investment is important, while at the same time you're showing over time that you are taking your cost down. So I think it really depends on a case by case, but I think that's the overarching approach I would use.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and just discuss maybe there are some chronic I&O challenges that we are still grappling with, and there may be reasons why we are not able to handle them so far, and what is on the horizon that we can look at and be hopeful that, yes, we will have these final few challenges handled properly and we will be all happy. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
There are all kinds of questions pertaining to health and wellness. What most people don't realize is that there are a lot of treatments that they can do themselves. Tune in to For Your Health with Dr. Mark Larson to discover these treatments and the answers to many of your questions about health. Topics covered will run the gamut from alternative medicine to the science of modern medicine. So be sure to tune in every week. For Your Health airs live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Vittorio, we will get into the chronic I&O challenges that leaders might be facing till today. But then before that, let's hear your thoughts on, what does it take for us to convince management that your upfront capital, is required for you to get value later?
Sure. I think the answer is kind of two-folded. First and foremost, I agree with both Bill and Jim that you require a robust business case, which is expressed in clear financial terms. And today's leaders cannot survive without mastering, if you want, the basics of financial management, the ability to describe the impact on P&L, balance sheet, cash flow. But that alone often doesn't cut it. So what a leader needs is also the trust of the senior stakeholders, which is not something that you can build overnight, and is an ongoing process, is an ongoing relationship, keeping them informed, being transparent about the business value proposition that infrastructure provides, and that makes it much easier when you show up with your capital request.
Now, coming to the I&O challenges that you still see the world facing, Vittorio, anything that you can inventory quickly?
Sure. There is one that comes to mind that could be seen as a chronic challenge. I would also describe it as an opportunity, but it's basically consumerization of IT, and it's a challenge that is getting worse with the fantastic progress consumer technology has made in recent years. there is always the expectation from the user side that things should work like they do at home or over the internet, and that enterprise devices should be as stylish as the ones that you can buy in a mall. I'm sure we'll get a lot of noise out of the Apple announcement today. But the point is that IT in the enterprise, it is different from consumer IT, and it has a different cost profile, different data and security requirements. So I believe the enterprise will certainly benefit from consumer technology, and we will see convergence, especially in the area of Web 2.0 and social networking tools. We'll see cloud computing and virtualization enable more flexibility with devices. However, it's important to bear in mind that consumer IT and enterprise IT are fundamentally two different things, and we need to see that concept starting with business leaders first.
Now, Jim, do you think you would agree with us, agree with what Vittorio said in terms of putting consumer IT and enterprise IT in two different buckets and try to bring them together? Could they not be seen in the same light?
I agree with Vittorio. In fact, we have a project that we started as well looking at the employee of the future. So we looked at various consumer technologies that are very popular in the marketplace, and then how do we bring them into an enterprise such as P&G and create the same robust operations and tools and that kind of thing to manage it and keep the cost down. I think the other thing, honestly, that I see is challenging for IT, more of what's coming from the business. Our business wants to be real-time, they want to react quicker, and they want to have thin inventories. So that, which means from an IT standpoint, we need a different data model and a data architecture. We need to be getting information from our retailers and the consumers very quickly, integrating them into some decision, kind of a cockpit, to make it simple for our business leaders to make decisions. So you're going to see a lot of investments, I think, in IT and over the future in this whole space of kind of real-time decision-making and aiding our general managers and presidents. The other is regarding the inventories, puts a lot of pressure on our infrastructure to stay up and running all the time. Our vision is to really go digital from the molecule to the shelf. How do we digitize our business flow and our work process end-to-end? The IT infrastructure is absolutely foundational to really enabling this. That's a big challenge I see kind of coming at us.
So, Bill, what do you think?
You know, I think Jim is spot on with regards to the analytics, and I think the fact that the amount of data that we're all dealing with and the time constraints, as Jim said, we need instantaneous information, we need tighter inventories, we need just-in-time demand. That's really applicable for all businesses, and I think really the key is going to be using analytics, and tools that can help us, really dive through that data, make real decisions as quick as possible, that are certainly fact-based, and using the data to help us deduce into the right decisions going forward. So I think really managing data and selecting and utilizing the right analytics tools is going to be critically important.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank Jim, Bill, and Vittorio for sharing your insights about how the world out there who are trying to deal with this I&O challenge could really become a rock star. And if you have any questions, listeners, the email is views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Gaul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gaul next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.